And I'll tell you, like I said earlier, when I got saved, that's the first place I went. I went to church. And that's where I stayed. And I'm still staying there. I want you to understand that. But just because you go to church don't make you right. It's if Jesus Christ is in your heart, that's what makes you right. And you got to understand that. It's Christ alone that saves you. It's no other thing that saves you. No man can save you. It's Jesus Christ and Him alone. David in the Bible, in the Old Testament, said salvation was day by day. Every day you need the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day you get up, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day you lay down, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your comforter. He's what makes you right. The Holy Spirit comforts you, but it's the Lord Jesus that sent the Holy Spirit. Listen, I don't know if you realize it, but God the Father sent His only begotten Son. That's what it says in John 3:16, that whosoever believe on Him would not perish. That's what it says. And have everlasting life. That's what it says. Christ looked at His disciples, and He says, it's expedient for you that I go away, that I might send the Comforter. God the Father sent the Son. The Son sent the Holy Spirit. That we would not be comfortless. We now have the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've accepted Him, living in your heart. You don't have to look up and call from heaven and have Jesus come down. You don't have to look in the grave and ask Him to be resurrected again. He lives within you if you've accepted Him. It may not make sense to you in the natural, but I'm telling you, we don't have to live in the natural. We have to live in the Spirit. I'll tell you right now, this natural is all hell a lot of times. A lot of times, it's not no cakewalk. It is a flat-out fight just to get up and live and breathe and serve the Lord. And I'm telling you, but we got to get a hold of the grace of God. It's His grace that brings us from day to day into the house of God, into salvation of the Lord. It's His grace. Back to verse 4. It says, then shall the offering, I'm going to put of the people there. It says Judah and Jerusalem, but that was God's chosen people. And it says, the offering of the people be pleasant unto the Lord. So what's going to make God's people pleasant unto the Lord? What's going to make a sinner pleasant unto the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ in them. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. My righteousness is as filthy rags. I can stand up here and preach the gospel in every city that they let me sit this tent. But if I have not Jesus Christ in my heart, I am no different than the sinner that's bound for hell's fire. I'll hit the same fire as a sinner does. It's Christ in me that moves me from place to place. It's not anything else. I am no better than the drug addict or whatever sinner you want to call out there on the street. I am no better. The only difference is I've accepted Jesus now, and they've got to accept Jesus. That's the only difference between us and them. And I've had a guy tell me, he said, yeah, but I do good in my community. I said, I don't care how much good you do. If you don't have Christ, you're not saved. And you got to understand that. It's Christ that we lift up. He said, you lift up Jesus Christ, and He'll draw all men nigh unto Him. It's the life of God in you. And I'm telling you, you can have the life of another if you'll just say yes to the Lord and no to yourself. And I'm telling you, it's the greatest life you'll ever live. I'm not going to go into my whole testimony, but I've buried 6 kids over the last 22 years. And I'm telling you that God's given me grace to walk through it, and He's given me the fire to run with it. And I'm telling you that it's His mercy that's been upon my family to keep us in the place. And I've had people tell me, then why would God do that? I have no idea why I have to walk through what I walk through. I have no idea why you have to go through what you go through. All I know is He's the answer. He'll keep you in the midst of the fire. He'll keep you in the midst of trouble. He'll give you a hunger for Him that blows the natural mind. And I'm telling you, He'll give you peace in the midst of the storm. He'll make a way where there is no way. Oh, there is a God. I'm telling you, He's good. He's good, He's good, He's good. My fight is not with the Lord. My fight is with the enemy. But I don't fight him in the flesh. I fight him in the Spirit. I fight him with the Word of God. It's when Christ was tempted, taken into the wilderness by who? The Holy Spirit took him into the wilderness. By who?
the Holy Spirit took him into the wilderness. There's some of you that's facing battles today. It's not because God's against you. It's because he's taking you through the wilderness so you can get on fire for him, so he can take things out of you that's not like him. And I'm telling you that God's greatest day in your life is the day you say, "Yes, Lord." I'm going to start at verse 4 again. It says, I can't get out of it, I'm telling you. It says, and he shall, then shall the offering of the Judah in Jerusalem, offering of the people, be pleasant unto the Lord. For years I have prayed, Lord, let me please you. Lord, let me please you. I know in my flesh I can't do it. In my flesh I cannot please the Lord. I'll tell you straight out. If you see me in my flesh, you don't like me. If I see me in my flesh, I don't like me. So I try to stay in the Spirit. And am I always in the Spirit? As much as I possibly can. There's times the Lord has to give me a big check. And, you know, he said he corrects those he loves. So if you get a big correction, a big check, that's a good thing from God. Amen. But it says, and purge them of gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. Verse 4 again, it says, then shall the offering of the people, which it says Judah and Jerusalem, but I'm putting of the people, be pleasant unto the Lord. And in the days of old and in the former years, or as in the former years. This is what the Lord showed me in the scripture. There's some of you that have seen God move mightily in your past of your life. You've seen great revivals. I've had my dad. My dad's 81. And he's told me of moves of God and just mighty, mighty miracles that he's seen, and visions and dreams. But he said we're in a time that's he's never seen anything like it. My dad's very active. He's very, at 81 years old, he still walks 2 miles and builds stuff and does all kinds of crazy stuff. He told me the last time I talked to him, he said, there's something different going on. There's something different now. And I'm telling you right now, we got to get, and this is what the Lord was showing me. He said, and it'll be as in the former years. When he showed me this revival that's coming, it's going to be greater than any revival that America has ever seen. But I'm telling you that it's the grace of God and the power of God that's going to bring it in. It's not going to be no man or one man show. It's going to be God in the people that's going to rise up, and it's going to change the world. And I'm telling you, it's God's grace that's going to blow this place apart. Sullivan can have revival right now if the people just humble themselves and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, and God would hear from heaven. 2 Chronicles 7:14, everybody quotes it. Everybody quotes it, but I'm telling you, I'm trying to slow down, because I want you to understand that God has something greater for you than what you've ever seen. But you got to trust him in the midst of the fire. When the Hebrew children went into the fire, they come out the other side with not even a burn on them, not even a scorch, not even a smell of smoke, it says. And I'm telling you here now, you can go through the afflictions and you can go through the fire without smelling like smoke, without looking like you've been beat up and torn to pieces. It's God's mercy upon America that keeps us in a place that we're at. But I'm telling you, he always looks for a people that'll stand in between the sin and the judgment that's coming. He always wants to give mercy. Peter said in the Bible that he was long-suffering and patient, that none should perish. It's his desire that we would walk in a place with him, that we could see his glory, see his presence. It's his desire that we would just say yes to the Lord in the midst of everything that's going on. God loves you right where you're at. You know, I've had people tell me, well, when I get my life together, I'll serve the Lord. You'll never serve the Lord. I'm telling you right now, because he's the one that gets you right. He's the one that gets your life together. It's his grace and mercy that comes up in you and makes your life right.
And I'm telling you, in the natural, you can't live a right life for God. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ. And you'll hear me lift up Christ this whole revival, because He told me, you go in there and you preach me, and you don't worry about nothing else. It's Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father except through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by His grace and His mercy that you have life. If you're in sin tonight, God's grace is there to pull you out of it. You ain't got to get yourself right before He saves you. You let Him save you, let Him get you right. And you may not understand this. This may be foreign to you. You may not understand what I'm talking about. But if you'll just call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. God, I'm confessing you with my mouth and I believe in my heart. But if you'll just save me, Lord God, and do what's right in me, Lord God, then I can do it. Because that's the only way it's going to happen. If the Lord comes into your life. Amen. God's going to raise a people up that will glorify His name. He's going to have a body. He's going to have a people. He's going to have a people. And I'm telling you, you know, I've had different... Yes, we'll pass that. He will go to the extra mile to reach your heart right where you're at. And you'll hear me say this a lot. If you don't like life, call on Jesus. He'll make your ways right. He'll make your life better. He'll make you want to live and not die. He'll make you want to have another breath. He'll give you a joy where all pain is taken over. He'll give you a smile where all hell has come against you. And I'm telling you, it's Jesus Christ, the one that you need tonight. He loves you right where you're at. Zechariah 8:3. See, the Lord's calling loudly. And it's His desire to change this world upright. There's nobody else can do it. I don't care how you do it. I don't care if you got millions and billions of dollars. You can't make the world right. It's only Christ in you. And you got to understand that. We got to get back to simplicity of the Word of God and get back to the beginnings. He warned in Revelations. Go back to your first love. Go back to your first love. Do your first works over again. I'm telling you, I'm hungry for revival. I'm hungry to see people saved. I'm tired of just barely seeing people just barely make it. And if you're in that place, it's not wrong. But call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him do a work in you that only He can do. God loves you and He loves Sullivan. He's for him and not against him. Zechariah 8:3 says, thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion with great jealousy. I'm in verse 1 or 2. So verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. And you ask why I read this verse, because it really don't go along with anything I've said already. But I'm going to start it out again and give you what the Lord showed me. It says, thus saith the Lord. So the Lord's speaking to us. And He said, I am returning to Zion. I'm coming back to the house. Coming back. And when I say house, I'm not talking about a church building. It says we are the body of Christ. We are the church. Christ is the head. That's what it says. And He said He's coming back to Zion. He's coming back. And with a great jealousy, God is jealous over you tonight. Even if you don't know Him, even if you're out there and you're struggling in sin, God is jealous over you. He loves you greater than the enemy loves you, because the enemy loves to kill you. Christ loves to let you live, and you got to understand that. So He's jealous over you, and He desires that you live and not die. He desires that you have a life that will blow the mind of the devil. Do you understand me? That will blow the mind of the people around you. And He says, and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Otherwise, dwell in the midst of the chosen people. Now, I'm not an Israelite. I'm not from Israel. But it says I am adopted in.
because of Jesus Christ. Because I believe in Christ, I'm adopted into the family of God. So when it speaks of the family, I'm part of that family. If you have Jesus Christ, you're part of that family. And you got to understand it. You may not understand it, but you're part of it. That's what the Bible says. But he said, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. It's God's desire to pour out His mercy upon a people that don't feel like they deserve mercy. It's God's desire to pour out His mercy upon a sinner that don't feel like he has a right to be saved. See, the devil lies. And he'll tell you, if he's speaking, he's lying. He said he's the father of all lies. If he's speaking, he's lying. If Christ is speaking, he's telling the truth. Because he is truth. And you've got to understand that. But the devil will tell people, you're not worthy to be saved. You've done messed up too much. That's a lie of the enemy. That's a lie from the pits of hell. And I'm telling you right now that it's God's desire that you be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 4. It says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. It says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. That's not Luke chapter 4, but I'm quoting scripture to you. It says, if you've accepted Christ, you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You may look in the mirror after you just accept the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see the same you. But on the inside, you have a new life that is now growing, that is now changing day by day. Every day you get closer to the Lord as long as you keep your eyes on Him. As long as you keep your faith in Him. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Now this is the Lord speaking, Lord Jesus Christ. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recover sight to the blind, and set liberty to them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I'm here to tell you tonight that the same thing that Christ spoke then is still stands today. He still wants the gospel preached to the poor. He still wants liberty preached to the captives. The anointing to move. The anointing now is upon men and women of God that have now accepted Him and now have given their life over to Him, and He's called you and He's anointed you to do something great. I said it last night or maybe today, I can't remember. You're not going to physically see Jesus Christ. I said it earlier, you're not going to see Jesus Christ walking across this carpet. But you can see an anointed man or woman of God. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about who He's calling. You can see an anointed man or woman of God walking the carpet with the same power that Christ had. And I'm telling you, He said that when it... There's a lot of people captive out there tonight. Most of you in here were captive at one time. It took the liberty of Jesus Christ to set you free. And some of us, He's still setting free today. And you've been serving the Lord for a long time. But I'm telling you right now that the answer is Jesus Christ and Him alone. You let Him do the work. But it's His desire, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance. Luke 14. The Word of God is still just as powerful as the day it was written, as the day it was spoken. If it says you can be healed, you put your faith in Christ in the healing, and you can be healed. If it says you can be saved, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you can be saved. If it says you can have the Holy Spirit, put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you can have the Holy Spirit. If it says that you can be healed of the bruises, a bruise is a wound on the inside. It's not an outward wound, it's an inward wound. There's a lot of people that's been bruised by things that you had no control of. But He's the one that heals the bruises. He's the one that clears up
the blood that's shed underneath. He was bruised for our iniquity. You hear me? He was bruised for you. He was chastened, and he took a punishment upon his body that we might have freedom, that we might be set free. See, I love God. God's done so much in my life. If I told all of it to you, you'd either look at me cross-eyed or you'd run away from me. But I'm serving God, and I'm not backing up. I'm running forward, and I'm going to take everybody with me that he'll let me take into the kingdom of God. Luke 14:11 says, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." I'm telling you right now that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, just get on your knees wherever you're at. I wasn't in church when I got saved. I wasn't under a tent. I was in my house coming out of a lot of crazy stuff, running from God. And I just called out to him. And I got on my face, and he saved my soul. And he turned my life around, and he's still changing me today. And every day it's a new day with the Lord. And I'm telling you that you got to humble yourself. And what does he mean by humble yourself? Just you got to put self to the side and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to get on your face. Or if you can't bend over, just stand up and bow your head and just say, "Lord, help me. I'm a sinner. Turn my life around, oh God. Lord, fill me with your Holy Ghost. Lord, do a work in me, oh God. I'm not worthy of you, Lord." And I'm telling you that he makes you worthy. He makes you righteous. Verse 12, it says, "Then he said unto him that bade him, When thou makest dinner or supper, call not the friends nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen nor the rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense or repayment be made thee." It says, "But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot repay you." It says recompense in the King James, but it means repay thee. It's "for thou shalt be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Verse 15. It says, when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, "Blessed is he that shall eat the bread in the kingdom of God." Verse 16 says, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many." Otherwise, he called many of them. Now listen to this. The Lord's calling, and he's calling for a great time, for a great supper. He's calling for the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's calling for a bride to make herself ready, and he will have a bride, and it will be as he says it is, not as I say it is. It won't be the way I think it is. It'll be the way he says it is, and you got to understand that. You may count yourself out because you've done drugs 47 years of your life, but God says, if you'll accept my son, Jesus Christ, I'll make you right and you'll come right into my supper. You'll come right into my marriage feast. You'll come right into the place that I have for you. See, I found in America that we have a vision of what God says should be. But according to what I read and the way he explains it, it's nothing like what America sees. It's nothing like he sees. Now, and I'm going to explain it here. Or the Word of God's going to explain it. And it says, "A certain man," I'm going to go back to 16, "made a great supper and bade many to come. Otherwise, he invited many. And said unto his servant at supper time, Say to them that were bidden to come, for all things are now ready." And it says, verse 18, it says, "All with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go and prove them. I pray you have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed the Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant." Now this is the Lord Jesus Christ giving this parable. It says, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring..." Now listen to this. It says, "Bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room."
See, the Lord has bid those to come that were called. But he said, go out and get the halt, the lame, the maimed, and the blind. Otherwise, the blind don't mean you're just physically blind. It could mean that, but most of the time, if you study it out, he's talking about those that cannot see because of sin that covers their eyes. Those that cannot walk the way the Lord has called us to walk. But he said, go out and call them in to this great feast. And he said, and he come back in, he said, Lord, sit on the servant. And the servant said unto the Lord, verse 22, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is room. So he's done went out in the streets, and he's done called in the maimed, the blind, the halt, the withered. He's done called them in. So now listen, he's going even further. And he said, the Lord said unto him, unto the servant, go into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Verse 26 says, if any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother, wife or children, brother and his sisters, yea, in his own life, shall not he cannot see, or he cannot be my disciple. And I threw that last verse in there, because I'm telling you right now, and he's not telling you to hate your family. He's telling you to put Jesus Christ first.